Today's daf is Becharas Daf Chaf. Today's shir is sponsored again by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and we again thank him very much for the sponsorship. We are holding on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. We are at the second line of the page on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, so we're going to first finish off our discussion from yesterday. We're in the middle of giving different explanations as to why it is that we don't follow the Rov and assume animals of a certain age have already vadai given birth, because after all, the Rov animals of a certain age have given birth. See, our Mishnah told us, based on different types of animals, at what age they could not have given birth previously, and therefore the offspring is a Bechar, and at what age it's at least a Suffolk that they might have given birth previously. So the Gemara wanted to know, what do you mean might have? If there's a Rov that animals that reach a certain age have given birth, so then we should follow that Rov and it should be a Vadai, it should be Chayiv B'Bechar, you should give it to the Kohen. So the Gemara had two answers that we discussed yesterday. We're going to have a third answer today. Then the Gemara is going to bring a Braisa that gives an expanded version of the Machlokas that we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva had mentioned in the Mishnah that he's not so certain that animals prior to these ages are giving birth to Becharos, because it could be that it's true they could not have had another offspring during that time, but they could have had a miscarriage during that time, and the miscarriage would count as enough of a Leda to take away the status of Bechar from the next offspring. So the Gemara is going to just bring this Braisa with this expanded version of this Machlokas, and we're going to have two explanations of the Machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua, whether a birth within the age is considered to be a Vadai Bechar or not, or because of the Tinuf issue, because of the issue of miscarriage, it's not a Vadai Bechar. Then we're going to have, since the Braisa is going to introduce us to another idea that Rabbi Yeshua himself was going against that which his own Rebbeim taught him, that he had a certain tradition, and then he himself veered from that tradition, we're going to have three explanations of how Rabbi Yeshua, in fact, veered from the tradition of his Rebbeim. And then on Amud Beis, after the two dots, the Gemara is going to explain how Rabbi Akiva, who formulated the rules, argues on Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Akiva told us the basic rules that in our Mishnah just comes as a Zahaklal without attributing to Rabbi Akiva, but in the Braisa it attributes to Rabbi Akiva that any time you know that the animal gave birth previously, Ein Kan L'Kohen Klum, if you know for sure the animal didn't give birth previously, then obviously it's a Vadai Bechar, and Safek, you wait till it develops a mum and you eat it. So in what way is that in disagreement with anything that was said previously? It seems that he's just formalizing a clear formulation of the rules, but not that he's saying anything that is in fact different. So let's begin. We are up to the second line of the page, Ravina. So the Gemara is bringing a third explanation of why we don't follow Rov in this case. Why it is that we don't assume that once an animal has reached a certain age, it must have given birth, because Rov animals of that age have given birth. So Ravina Amar Afilu Temer Rabbanan. We could even assume that we're following the Shita of the Rabbanan, who say that we go Basa Rov, and that we're not Choshish Lemiuta. But Ki as the Rabbanan Basa Ruba, Beruba Dolotali B'meisa. When do the Rabbanan follow Rov? That's only a Rov that's not Tully in some sort of action, like a Katan or a Katana, that Rov Katanim are not Srisim, Rov Katanos are not Islandists. So that has nothing to do with Maisa. That's just in the Teva, that's just in the Bria, that they don't develop that way. Aval Ruba de Tali be Maisa, but a Rov that depends on a Maisa, like the pregnancy of a Behema, that doesn't just happen. There has to be a Maisa that's done. The animal, one animal needs to mount another animal in order to cause a pregnancy. So then we have to be Choshish that maybe that Maisa didn't happen. So lo, we're not going to follow even the Chachamim in such a case. We're not following the Rov. Tosos points out in Dibra Maschil Ravina that when it comes to a human, the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Tesam and Aleph says Rov Nashim Ar Misabros, meaning that that apparently a Tashmish of an Adam is not considered a Rov that's Tali B'Maisa. Yet Tashmish of a Behema is considered Rov Tali B'Maisa. Intuitively, I would have thought the opposite, that a Tashmish of an Adam is more like a conscious decision. A behema is part of nature. It's just what happens in nature. But no, we see from Chazal the opposite, that Tashmish of Adam is not called a Rov Atali B'Maisa. Tashmish of Behema is called a Rov Atali B'Maisa. And Tos explains, because by a behema, it's not just the Maisa that the behema does. You need a human very often to help out to be marvia one animal on another. So if it needs human intervention to help out in the harva'a, so that's what makes it a rov hatole b'maisa. The Yad David writes that according to Rashi, the chiluk between Adam and Behema is because it's not tali and bechira, because sometimes there is no zachar, but an Adam can go and find someone of the opposite gender. The animal could be kept; they could just be keep the males and females separately, and then and the animal won't be able to find someone to mate with. But a human has the ability to move around and to find somebody else. So that's the chiluk between two different types of rov: a rov that's tali b'maisa and a rov that's not tali b'maisa. So this may be relevant halach l'maisa as well. This idea of the two different types of rov. The Rush writes in the back of Maseches Menachos, the Rush has a number of sets of halachos. Generally speaking, the Rush doesn't write much on Maseches Menachos because it's kachim. The Rush, the Rif, don't write on kachim. Only the Rambam writes on all of halacha, even those things that only apply when we have a Beis Hamikdash. But since in Maseches Menachos you have sugyas of tzitzis and of tefillin and of mezuzah, so the Rush puts halachos of tzitzis in Maseches Menachos. So in the end of Hilchos Tzitzis of the Rush, he writes that someone who's charid al dvar Hashem, someone who's very religious, who is very dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be bodek as tzitzis kodem atifa, should check his tzitzis to make sure that they're kosher before he puts them on, in order that his bracha should not be a bracha levatala. So the Beis Yosef in Hilchos Tzitzis and Simul Ches says that even though in a tshuva he says that they were never knowing to be bodek all the tzitzios every time you're misatev, because you assume a cheskas kashrus, but the Tur writes like what the Rush says in the Psakim, in the back of Maseches Menachos, that a chari al dvar Hashem should be bodek the tzitzis anyway. So the Bach explains that from the Lashon of the Rush, it sounds like mi'ikar adin, you don't have to be bodek the tzitzis every time you're going to put them on. It's only a midas chasidus, a chari al dvar Hashem, lest you might make a brach levatala. But he says, and therefore it's not really so sir what the Rosh himself says in the tshuva, because but in both cases he holds me'ikar adin, you follow the chazaka, and it's only a midas chasidus to be bodek the tzitzis. But says the Bach, me'ikar adin, you cannot be somech on the chazaka of the tzitzis. Why can't you be somech on the chazaka of the tzitzis? Because dafka by a chazaka that's kavua uba'a, a chazaka that's memela, a chazaka that's mitzara teva, that's an automatic chazaka, that's a chazaka that we follow, like a cheskas kashrus of a behema from the time that it's born. But over here, the chazaka didn't come mimela. What's the cheskas kashrus of the tzitzis? That you made these tzitzis, that someone tied these tzitzis. You're not somech on such a chazaka. What's his raya? Ravina, in our sugya, that when it comes to a rov, when the rov is not tali b'maisa, when the rov is tali b'maisa, we don't follow it. Only when it's not tali b'maisa, when it's tali b'teva, do we follow the rov. And that's why we don't follow rov behemos, shabale and zachar b'tok shenasan, because even that's a rov that's tali b'maisa. You don't follow a rov that most behemos have been mated within their first year. And that's what the Ran writes in the Din of Savlonos, that a rov in Kiddushin, that a rov that's only mitzad minaga olam, and the minagas also lishtanos, that's not considered a rov chashuv. We have to be choshish for a miyut, even according to the Rabbanon and such a rov. And if that's going to be true by rov, that if with regard to rov, we don't follow a rov that's tali and teva, we don't follow a rov that's tali and maisa and minag, only a rov that's in teva, Kol Shekein, that we're not going to follow a chazaka that's Tuliya B'maisa. Why? Because Ruba B'chazaka, Ruba Adif. So if a rov, which is even stronger than a chazaka, and yet we're not going to follow a rov that's Tuliya B'maisa, we're for sure not going to follow a chazaka that's Tuliya B'maisa. Therefore, says the Bach, Me'ikra Adin, a person has to check his tzitzis every time he puts on his talis, because we cannot follow the chazaka. Me'ikra Adin, we cannot follow the chazaka because it's Tuliya B'maisa. So that is not agreed upon by all poskim. And Avram in Hilchos Tzitzis and Sifkat Nir Aleph says that the Bach is very difficult to understand. When our Gemara says that we don't follow a chazaka that's Tuliya B'maisa or a rov that's Tuliya B'maisa, it's because we have to be mistopic that maybe the maisa never happened. Meaning, what's the concern? Over here, you're going to follow a rov that this animal had been mated and had a pregnancy, but maybe it didn't happen. So since that takes a maisa for it to happen, that maisa might not have happened. over when it comes to the tzitzis, what's the chazaka? The chazaka that the tzitzis were tied, right? That they were kosher. That maisa is that they were tied. You know that that happened because there are tzitzis on the end of your beged. So you know that there was a maisa that happened. So now it's just a matter of following chazaka de bemela, that everything's going to stay exactly the same. So he finds it very strange to assume, like the Bach, that we're not allowed to follow such a chazaka. The Mishnah Berurah writes that there are two reasons that you have to be bodek the tzitzis. One, because we're not samech on the chazaka when it's efshel levarer the chazaka, and he says maybe that's what Magen Avraham himself suggests. That's why the Rush thought it was a good idea to be bodek the tzitzis, because it's efshel levarer, not because of this din of tali b'maisa, not tali b'maisa. But anytime it's efshel levarer, anytime you can easily clarify, you should. And the other thing the Mishnah Berurah points out is that the chazaka is not a super strong chazaka. A chazaka that your tzitzis are intact is not the greatest chazaka in the world, because they snap all the time. Since tzitzis break all the time, it's not a great chazaka, so you have to be bodek every morning when you put it on. But the Mishnah Berurah says that what people typically are samech on is that when we take them off, we tend to take a look at the tzitzis and see that they're still intact, and then we fold it up and put it in a bag. So nothing's going to happen when it's secure inside the bag. So if people don't check their tzitzis before they put it on, are samech on the fact that it's been protected since the last time they checked it. So it has, in fact, just been checked. But that's the real issue. Not like the Bach says, because of this inyan of our sugya of tali b'maisa versus not tali b'maisa. Okay, vaitu in the Gemara. So now we're just going to bring a brisa that has an expanded version of what we already learned in the Mishnah. So Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa that tells us as follows. Eiz bas shnasa, if you buy a goat from a guy and you don't know if it's had a baby or not, but it's still in its first year of life, so then you know, now you can know that it hasn't had a baby yet. So vadai lakohen, the next baby that's going to be born, the next offspring this eiz is going to have, definitely goes to a kohen. It is definitely a bechar. Mikan lalan, but if you only bought it after it was already a year old, suffik, then the next offspring it has is only a suffik bechar. Rachel, if you purchase a Rachel from a Nachri, Bas Shtayim, if it's within the first 2 years of life, Vaday LaKohen, then the next offspring definitely goes to the Kohen. Mikan LaLan, Safek, but anything that's born, and if you bought it at any age after that, then anything that's born afterwards is only going to be a Safek LaKohen. Para, if you purchased a para from a Nachri, Bas Shalosh, if you purchased it within the first 3 years of its life, so you know for sure it hasn't given birth yet, and therefore Vaday LaKohen, the next offspring is going to be Vaday to a Kohen. Mikanu LaHalan, but if you purchase it after the first 3 years of life, Safik, then it's going to be a Safik. Chamora Kipara, the din of a Chamora is like a para, that if you buy it before it's 3 years old, then you know for sure it has not had any offspring yet, and if you buy it afterwards, then the first vlad is a suffik bechar. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chamora bas arba shanim. So we introduce another shita. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says that a chamora is, we look at 4 years, not at 3 years. If you buy it within its first 4 years of life, then you can be absolutely certain that the next vlad is a peter chamor, because it won't give birth before 4 years of life. And if you buy it afterwards, then it's a suffik. Ad kan divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So says Rabbi Yishmael. So says Rabbi Yishmael. Can't be going on that last line. It has to just be going on those other things that that we mentioned. But it can't be that Rabbi Shmuel quoted Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Shmuel lived before Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda was sort of like added in to Rabbi Shmuel's presentation of the different ages and when something is a Vaday and when something is a Safek. Rabbi Shmuel was the Rebbe of Rabbi Eloi, who was the grandfather of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, right? We always quote in Shas. So it's not mistaver that Rabbi Shmuel would be quoting his grandson's Rebbe, his grandson's Talmud. right? That he would be quoting his grandson's Talmud. So anyway, Shnamru Dvarim Lefnei Rabbi Yeshua, when Rabbi Yeshua was told this presentation of Rabbi Shmuel, that each animal, depending on the age, prior to a certain date, after Amr Lahen, so he said, Tzu'uva Imru Lo Rabbi Shmuel, go tell Rabbi Shmuel Ta'isa, that you made a big mistake. Ilu Bevlad Bevlad HaBehema Niftaris. Look, if it were true that the only way to take away the status of Bechor from an offspring is if it was preceded by another actual Vlad, then Hayekud Varecha, then everything would be correct. Everything you said would be correct. But it's not. It doesn't have to actually be preceded by a Vlad to take away the status of Bechora. Aval Amru, Simen Avlad Behema Daka, Tinuf. A Simen Vlad for a Behema Daka is just Tinuf, that a lot of blood comes out of the womb. And that blood is, we assume, a Vlad that didn't make it. And that would take away the Bechor status of the next one. So it failed. Pregnancy would be enough. Ubegasa, and a simon vlad of a para or a large animal is shilia, that the embryonic sac comes out. Ubeisha shfir vishilia, that some or that has tsuras of vlad and the shilia, or the and means either one, or the shilia would be a simon vlad. So any behema that has one of the simone vlad emerged from it, the vlad that comes afterwards is not a bechor. So if you buy a behema from a nachri and it gives birth, even though it could not have given birth previously, but the animal that's born now may still not be a bechor because it could have had a miscarriage previously, and that's why you can't follow these rules of Rabbi Shmuel. Then Rabbi Shmuel has told his talmidim that they should tell Rabbi Shmuel that svara that he heard from his own rebbeim, va'ani ein ani omer kein, even though my rebbeim say what I just told you, that there could be tinuf and therefore you cannot assume bechora. I don't 100% agree with my rebbeim. Ella, rather, I disagree, and I say as follows, that Eiz Shetinfa Bas Shisha, if a goat had a miscarriage or had a bloody emission when it was 6 months old, when it was at least 6 months old, meaning at the beginning of the seventh month, Yoledes B'toch Shnasa, is able to give birth within that first year. Rachel Shetinfa Bas Shnasa, Yoledes B'toch Shtayim. If the Rachel was Tinfa within its first year, then it will be able to give birth within its second year. So the Gemara is going to say, what exactly is he saying differently? Meaning, is he arguing in some way? So he's obviously arguing in some way. He's saying, "Ani ena ni omer kein." He's saying, "I disagree." But what exactly is he disagreeing about? So that we're going to have a discussion in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Kiva, but the Brisa continues. Comes along Rabbi Kiva. Ani lo basi lidei midazu. I don't hold like Rabbi Yeshua. So again, it's not going to be 100% clear in what he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yeshua, but he's telling us he disagrees. So there's got to be a disagreement between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. Ella kol sheyadua shebikra ein kan lekoyim klum. The rule is, if you know for sure that this animal has had offspring before, then obviously the next offspring is not going to go to the kohen. It's not a bechor. V'kol shelo bikra harezu lekohen. Anytime you know for sure it has not had offspring before, then it definitely goes to the kohen. Safek yachav b'mum lebailim. If it's a safek, then you wait till it develops a mum and it gets eaten by the bailim. So now that we have the brisa, that's the whole brisa. So now we're going to go back and analyze each element of the brisa, and by that have a broader understanding of our Mishnah, because the brisa was just an elaboration of the Mishnah with some details added in. So, b'maka miflagi, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shua. What exactly is the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shua? Rabbi Shmuel, who said that an eiz that was yalda bas shnasa is vade lekohen, and Rabbi Shua says, no, that's a mistake, it could have had tinuf, solema, but tinuf poter kemiflagi. Maybe they're just arguing whether tinuf matters, whether the fact that the animal had this bloody emission is going to therefore patr the next one from Bechor, that Rabbi Shmuel suffer tinuf ein apotar. Rabbi Shmuel holds that event of tinuf is ignored. It doesn't mean anything. It's not a leda. It doesn't change the Bechor status of the next one. Rabbi Shmuel suffer tinuf poter. And Rabbi Shmuel says that tinuf does make a difference, and therefore will patr from the next one from Bechor. So says Gemara, nah, that's not the machlokas. Let's say you knew for sure that there was a tinuf. You saw it. It's not about being choshesh. So then, of course, Rabbi Shmuel would agree that would patter the next one from being a bechor. V'hacha b'choshesh shetinuf kamiflugi. Over here, the machlokas is: are we choshesh shetinuf happened when we don't know that it happened? So there, Rabbi Shmuel Savra in choshesh shetinuf. Rabbi Shmuel says, look, you buy an aze within the first year and it has a baby. That's a bechor. You have to be choshesh that maybe there was a tinuf and therefore this isn't a bechor. You have to be choshesh for tinuf. Rabbi Shmuel Savra choshesh shetinuf. Rabbi Shmuel says we are choshesh shetinuf. So says Mar v'lo chayish. What is Rabbi Shmuel not choshesh for tinuf? Meaning, is he not choshesh l'miyuta? Because the assumption is the reason Rabbi Shmuel would not be choshesh l'tinuf is rov of the animals do not have a tinuf. They do not have this early miscarriage, this form of miscarriage where there's a lot of blood, and therefore you don't have to be choshesh for the miyut that do. So is that true? V'lo chayish? Is Rabbi Shmuel not choshesh for miyut? V'ha'amar Rava mechavarta Rabbi Shmuel Krab Meir Sfirle de chayish l'miyuta. Didn't Rava tell us that machavarta, it's a davar barer, it's something that's absolutely clear that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir, who's choshesh l'miyuta. Rabbi Meir, we saw yesterday, is choshesh l'miyuta. So we are also of miyut mitanfos. So we should say that the vlad is only a suffik b'char. The vlad that comes next is only the vlad that comes when you don't know if there was a tinuf should only be a suffik b'char, because we should be choshesh that maybe there was a tinuf. Says Gemara, no, ki chayish l'chumra. When we say that Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Meir, is choshesh l'miyuta, that's only if the miyut is going to be a chumra. To say that the vlad is a suffik b'char and not that it's and not a vaday pashut, but l'kula lo chayish to be makil based on the miyut, that we're not going to be choshesh l'miyuta. That we're going to follow the rov, and we're going to say the vlad is a vaday b'char. So since it's a chumra to not be choshesh l'miyuta over here, it's a chumra to say kavan. And there was no tinuf, and therefore the next animal is a vade b'char. You got to give it to a kohen. So the chumra, we're not going to be choshesh l'miyuta. So that's one possibility of the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel. So again, the first possibility was maybe they're arguing about whether tinuf is poter. And we said no, that they all agree tinuf is poter. They're arguing about whether we're choshesh for tinuf or not choshesh l'tinuf. Third possibility, v'i ba yisema bein l'kula bein l'chumra chayish, that we're choshesh l'miyuta. Both the chumra and the kula. V'achu b'metanefes v'chazeres v'yoledes b'toch shnasa k'miflugi. Over here, the machlokas is a behema able to be metanef and then have a baby b'toch shana b'toch that first year? Rabbi Shmuel savor metanefes. Rabbi Shmuel says, I agree. Tinuf would exempt the next one from being a Bechar. And I think Tinuf is something to be concerned about, that it might have happened. But you know how I know it didn't happen? Because the animal gave birth. If the animal gave birth again within that year, then there's no way it had a Tinuf earlier in the same year. You have a clear indication that there was no Tinuf over here because it actually gave birth. So Rabbi Yeshua Savar mitanefes chazeres yoledes b'toch shnasa, and Rabbi Yeshua says it's perfectly normal for an animal to have a tinuf and then give birth to another offspring during that year. So even though it was yoledes b'toch shnasa within that first year, we still have to be choshesh that maybe it was mitanefes earlier in the year by the mocher before you ever bought it, and that's why the vlad is only going to be a suffix. So those are the three explanations of what exactly Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shua are in disagreement about. So now the Gemara moves on to explain the next line of the Braisa. Rabbi Shua said, oh, and even though that's what my Rebbeim say, va'ani eini omer kein, I disagree with my Rebbeim, rather, ela eiz shetinfa bas shisha yoledes tok shnasa, that if an eiz is mitanefes within 6 months, then it can give birth within the year. Rachel shetinfa bas shnasa yoledes tok shtayim, a rachel that has a tinuf within the first year will be yoledes within the first 2 years. Well, ma'ika bin gamre l'svare. What's the chilik between what he said in the name of his rabbeim and what he says misvaras atzmo? Both l'fi gamre and l'fi svare were choshesh latinov, and the first vlad is not considered a bechor vaday. The next vlad that you're going to see is not considered a bechor vaday because you have to be choshesh that a tinov happened. So the Gemara answers that the chilik between what his rabbeim said and what he said is shetinfa b'sof shisha v'ika bin Diziri. What if it has a tinuf right after 6 months are over, at the beginning of the 7th month? And the machlokas is whether we hold like Zeiri. The Amr Zeiri ain't tinuf pachos mishloshim yom. That a behema that's mitanefes is not going to be mekabel zachar. It's not going to allow itself to be mounted until 30 days have passed from that tinuf. So the gamrei islay de Zeiri, what Rabbi Yeshua said in the name of his rebbeim, holds like Zeiri, and therefore if it was mitanef, an absolute tinuf, after 6 months, there's no way it's going to be able to give birth within that same year, because aside from the 30 days of the pregnancy of an aside from those 30 days, you need 5 months of pregnancy, and if it gives birth within the year, you know that there was not a real tinuf, and you don't have to be choshish for it, and therefore legamre we have to be choshish tinuf only up until the end of the 6 month. But if it's metanef after that, you don't have to be choshesh for tinuf, meaning if it gives birth within a year, and the tinuf, if it ever happened, only happened after 6 months, well then you know it didn't happen. And l'savrei lesle de zi'iri, according to what he says, misvaras atzmo, he doesn't hold like zi'iri, that 30 days after tinuf, it's not going to be mekabelas zachar, and after we have to be choshesh even for a tinuf in the 7th month, because the leida at the end of the year is not mochiach anything, that the tinuf of the 7th month was not really a tinuf, and the vlad is still a suffix bechar because it might have been a tinuf. So that's one explanation of what he disagrees with his rebbeim about. Do we assume that there's this automatic extra 30 days added after a tinuf before the animal will ever become pregnant? V'ibayisema, or a second possibility, to kuliyamlesu de ziri. Everyone holds like ziri that a behema that's metanefes is not mekabel zachar for 30 days. Over here they're arguing about the gestational period of a goat. That when we say that a goat's gestational period is 5 months, does that mean 5 full months, or is a goat yoledes l'mekutayim? Can it sometimes be less than the 5 full months? So the gamrei, according to what he heard from his rebbeim, what Rabbi Yeshua heard from his rebbeim, lo aminan yoledes l'mekutayim. We don't assume that it could ever be yoledes l'mekutayim. It's only 5 full months, and since it's not mekabelas zachar for 30 days after the tinuf, if it's metanefes at the beginning of the 7th month, there's no way it would be able to give birth within that year. And if it does give birth within that year, then that obviously wasn't a tinuf. That event that you thought was a tinuf in the 7th month obviously wasn't, because you would need 6 full months after that event in order for it to give birth. But the savrei aminan yoledes l'mekutayim. But maybe the savrei Rabbi Shua, when left to himself, would say that the metzius is that a goat can be yoledes l'mekutayim. This is a sugya in the Gemara about humans as well. The Gemara is a whole discussion whether human beings can be yoledes l'mekutayim or not. And the Gemara's conclusion actually seems to be against the metzius. The Gemara's conclusion is that there are two types of pregnancies for human beings. There are 7-month pregnancies and there are 9-month pregnancies. It's like two tracks that a pregnancy can go on. And the 7-month pregnancy can be yoledes l'mekutayim, which means it doesn't have to be a full 7 months. It could be 6 and change. Whereas a 9-month pregnancy cannot be yoledes l'mekutayim. It's got to be 9 full months, and otherwise it's not going to produce a viable offspring. And we see the metzius is not that way. That it's not that way. But that's what the Gemara concludes. That's why the Gemara talks about Chasidim Arishonim that were makbid not to have tashmish with their wives on certain days of the week, cheshbeding that if it's exactly 9 months late, it could take up until 3 days for the Zerah to be collate, for the Zerah to actually impregnate the woman. But then you could do the cheshbon of the days. What would lead to a Shabbos birth? And a Shabbos birth is to be avoided, because then you have to be Mechal Shabbos. So they would avoid having Tashmish on certain days so that they won't have to be Mechal Shabbos. The whole assumption was that it's any Yoledes L'mekutayim, because otherwise, what kind of game are you playing? You're not going to be able to predict anyway. It can happen at any time of the week. That's where the Gemara says that that's not, even if it's any Yoledes L'mekutayim, we don't have to make such cheshbonos. Shomer Psoim Hashem. We live life like a normal person lives life, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu will see to it that things will work out. That's the notion of Shomer Psoim Hashem that was famously applied in a tshuva by Rav Moshe Feinstein to smoking, and it caused a lot of literature afterwards of what exactly the gedarim of Shomer Psayim Hashem are. But it is the same discussion that you have by a behema. Can an eis be a ledes l'mekutayim? Maybe that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and his rebbeim. The Iba Yisema, a third possibility of what the machlokas is that lo amrinan yoledes l'mekutayim, that we don't assume that it's yoledes l'mekutayim, only it needs 5 full months of a gestational period. Vahacha, v'miktsas hayom kekulo kamiflugi. Over here, what are they arguing about? Whether miktsas of the last day of his pregnancy is considered like a full day, and mela it's able to give birth on that day, which is the last day of the year. Or maybe no, there's no such thing as miktsas kulo, and therefore it has to finish out the entire year before it's able to give birth. So what do you do about the animal that gave birth on the last day of the year? Do you assume that it could not have, that the event that we thought was a tinuf could not have been a tinuf? Or do we assume that it could have been a tinuf and it has now finished its gestational period? According to what Rabbi Shua himself holds, he holds miktsas kulo, and therefore even if you know that it was mitanefes at the beginning of the seventh month, it's still able to give birth within that year, and you have to therefore have that suffix whether the vlad that's born on the last day of the year may not be a bukhar, because there may have been a previous tinuf. But legamrei lo amrinu miktsas kulo, legamrei we don't say miktsas kulo. And even though you know that it was mitanefes at the beginning of the seventh month, the leida that it's yoledes b'toch shnasa is mochiach that that tinuf was obviously not a tinuf, because it never would have been able to give birth. It has to go through the full gestational period, which means the entire day, that we don't say miktsas kulo. Now, when we say over here that we don't say miktsas hayom kekulo, that you know that his rebbeim do not say miktsas kekulo, it doesn't mean that his rebbeim never hold of miktsas kekulo. L'chora, it means that in this case they don't hold of miktsas kekulo, meaning that they don't apply miktsas kekulo to the idea of a pregnancy. So, what exactly are the gedarim of miktsas kekulo? Meaning, there are certain cases where we definitely do say miktsas kekulo. For example, most famously by Shiva, person sits Shiva, they do not sit the entire seventh day. They get up after sitting a little bit in the morning of the seventh day, and yet by Yantif, for example, or Shabbos, we don't say miktsas kekulo. We don't walk out of shul Shabbos morning and get in our cars and drive away and go play golf the rest of the day, right? We don't do that on Shabbos because why not? Miktsas kekulo, I already observed part of Shabbos. So for some reason, miktsas kekulo applies in certain cases and not in other cases. So that's a major discussion in the poskim. When yes, when no. Rav Shachter writes in Bikvei Hatzon, I think in the name of Soloveitchik, that whenever it's a melos, we apply miktsas kekulo, meaning when there's a certain number of days that have to be filled, so then we say, okay, you've reached that number when you have miktsas of the last day. But when it's that this date on the calendar is a day of Kodesh, we don't say miktsas kekulo. It's not a melos that, oh, we better have 7 days of Yantif at some point, so okay, now we're at, no, it's that Tesvav Nisan is a Yantif, and Tesai Nisan is a Yantif, and meaning in Chutzaretz at least, or it's Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, you know, there are dates that are the Yantif, so then you're not going to say Miktsas Hayom, Miktsas Hayom Kekulo in such cases. So there is a machlokas whether we apply miktsas kulo in a number of situations. Not Rabbi Yehuda writes that when we say, well, let's see. There's also discussion whether we say miktsas kulo on things that are not day halachos that relate to weeks or halachos that relate to years. The poskim discuss Shivas Yemei HaMishta. The Magen Avraham writes that when it comes to Tachlim in a Beis HaMishta, you count the Shivas Yemei HaMishta Me Eis La'Eis, and you don't say Miktsas Yom Kekulo. So if someone had a chuppah in the middle of the day and they daven mincha on that seventh day after the chuppah, after the time that the chuppah was, they would have to say tachnun on that day, because it's already considered like the eighth day after his chuppah. But if he davens mincha before that, then he's patur from saying tachnun. In the Knesset Yecheskel, he discusses saying sheva brachos on that seventh day. And he's mochiach that even in Shivas Yemei HaMishta, we say miktsas yom kekulo. And the Ginas Varadim says, no, we don't say miktsas yom kekulo by Shivas Yemei HaMishta, because they bring raya. Raya is one way or the other. So this is it's an interesting discussion when it comes to other halachos like Shivas Yemei HaMishta, whether we say miktsas kulo. Do we say miktsas kulo on Yud Beis Chodesh of Avelus, right? We certainly say miktsas kulo on Shiva of Avelus of Shiva. What about Yud Beis Chodesh? Shivas Yemei HaMishta, Rav Shachter told us that once one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU was making a Sheva Brachos for the other Rosh Yeshiva were making Sheva Brachas, because one of the Rosh Yeshiva married off a child, so they were having a Sheva Brachas in YU going back decades. I remember Shach told us this story when we were in Ashir decades ago, and he said that the Chasan and Kala were very late. It was the last Sheva Brachas, and they weren't sure if they're going to be allowed to say Sheva Brachas or not. So if they're coming too late, it's going to be after the Sheva Brachas are over. So he said one of the Rosh Yeshiva got up and said, "It's okay, we could say the Sheva Brachas, because I saw in the Tshuva Sefer that the way we cheshbon the Sheva Brachas is me'es la'es." Right, like what we just saw that some of the Achronim say, and not based on the daytime versus nighttime, meaning not based on the calendar days, but it goes me'es la'es, and therefore we're still good to say the Sheva Brachos. So Rabbi Lam, who is the president of Rosh Yeshiva at the time, said, "Okay, Karyin de Igrusa you lahavi parvanka, you're the one that said that you're allowed to say the Sheva Brachos. You're saying all seven brachos. No one else is risking a bracha levatala. So you say all seven brachos." So that Rosh Yeshiva said all seven brachos. Said, and we all went home after the Sheva Brachas and looked up that tshuva, and he said exactly the opposite of what Rosh Yeshiva said. So, okay, maybe he did, but there are poskim that say that way. I don't think we generally poskim that way. We don't generally poskim the kolz me'es la'es. We poskim the kolz by the daytime. We also don't poskim mitzvah kukulo, I don't think. Meaning it would be the whole day, you'd be pater from tachlin, but only until that day is over. So, l'mashal, if someone were to get married, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon today, on Tuesday, so it goes until Monday is over, until next Monday is over. Next Tuesday, morning or evening, it's already, Sheva Brachas is already over. That's the way we would normally cheshbin it. Okay, but that's some of the discussion. So it says Gemara Vayta. Now the Braisa went on to say, Am Rabbi Kiva, ni lo basi lidei mida zu ela kol sheyodua. He says, I'm just going to give the rules. I disagree and I hold that if you know that it was Bikra, ein kan l'kohen klum. If it was not Bikra, so then it definitely belongs to the Kohen. Safek, then it's Yochel B'mumo L'Bailin. So Gemara explains what exactly he's arguing on. So Ma'ika Ben Rabbi Akiva L'Rabbi Shua. What's Rabbi Akiva disagreeing with Rabbi Shua about? Am Rabbi Chanina Misura Cholav Poter Ika Benayu. The Machlokas is, if an animal starts to lactate, does that mean that it's Potter from Bechora? If it lactates, and then meaning you see that the animal is expressing milk, and then it gets pregnant afterwards and it has an offspring, is that offspring possibly a Bechora? So Rabbi Akiva Savar Chalav Poter. Rabbi Akiva says the next animal is not a Bechor, because if there's Chalav, then there must have been a Vlad there. There's no way it would have lactated. Halachach Rov Behemos. Rov Behemos ain't Cholvel. Selim Ken Yoldos. Rov Behemos are not Cholev unless they're Yolate. Rabbi Yeshua Savar Heikam Yuta the Cholvel Saf Bishain Yoldos. No, but there is a Miut of animals that will be Cholev even though they're not Yoldos. So you have to be Choshesh that this Behemos is part of that Miut, and therefore was not yet Bikra, and the first Vlad is going to be a Safek Bechar. So, frankly, Gemara, Michai is Rabbi Shua Lemiut? Is Rabbi Shua really Choshish Lemiuta? Vatnan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Yevamos, by an Isha that went together with her husband to Medina Siam, and the husband died without any children. And when they left, he didn't have any brothers. But Haisa Lachamos, but she had a mother-in-law in the place that she left from, and there's no way to know if the mother-in-law had another baby. So now maybe she has a brother-in-law that has to do Yibum. She doesn't have to be Choshesh that maybe her mother-in-law gave birth to her brother-in-law before her husband died, and therefore she requires Yibum. Yatza Malaya, but if when she went, she left her mother-in-law, the mother-in-law was pregnant, then Choshesh. Then obviously she has to be Choshesh that she does have a brother-in-law. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Eino Choshesh. Rabbi Yeshua says, nah, you don't have to be Choshesh even if the mother-in-law was pregnant when she left town. You don't have to be Choshesh. For I mean, in my time with Rabbi Yeshua, why wouldn't you have to be Choshesh? Because of a rov. Kasava rov mu ubaros yoldos miut mapilos. That rov pregnancies produce a child, but there is a significant miut of pregnancies that never produce a child, that unfortunately end in miscarriage. Vikola yoldos mechzes char mechzen kevels. And even among those who give birth, it's 50-50 whether it's going to be male or female. Good, so smoch miuta de mapilos, the mechza de nekevos, vavlu zchara miuta, ulamiuta, lochashinon. Since you could have the 50% nekevos, plus even if it was a zachar, maybe it was a miscarriage, and therefore the woman could rely on the rov that she doesn't have a brother in law. So you see, Rabbi Shua is not choshesh lemiuta. So says Gemara, no, you want to know what the machlok Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shua is? It's ela epoch. It's the same machlok, but switch the shitos and say that Rabbi Shua holds that just like tinuf is poter, so too Chalav is going to be poter. And Rabbi Kiva says Chalav is not poter because he's choshesh lemiyuta. Because if you know that it was bikra afilu al yedei tinuf, so then the kohen gets nothing. And that he doesn't disagree with Rabbi Shua. If you know that it's not bikra, hareza the kohen. Also, but if it's a safek, if it's not, even if you're not sure if it was bikra or not, even if you see that it lactates, so that's the great chiddush. Even if you see that it produces milk, it's still considered a safek bechar. We're still going to say that this might be a bechar. So the Gemara brings a braisa that brings a raya that this is correct to switch around the shittos of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva. Va'atanya, we have a braisa. This is benichusa. We have a braisa that chalav poter divrei Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Kiva omer chalav eino poter, and Rabbi Kiva is the one that says that chalav is not poter. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up a ton of rabbanim.